Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, Instructions for Civilized Human Beings, Text 77. Nayasya sakshad bhavat pad padma jadibi. Rupam diya vastu tayopavar nitam. Moyena bhaktyo pashamena pujita. Prasidatam esha sasatvatam pati. Na, not. Yasya, of whom? Lord Shri Krishna. Sakshat, directly. Baba, by Lord Shiva. Padmaja Adibi. Lord Brahma and others. Rupam, the form. Diya, by meditation. Vastutaya, factually. Upavarnitam, could be explained. Maunena, by silence. Bhaktya, by devotional service. Upasamena, by finishing all material activities. Pujita, one who is so worshipped. Prasidatam, may be pleased with us. Esha, this. Vaha, saha, the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. Satvatam, of the devotees. Pati, who is the maintainer, master, and guide. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Present here now is the same Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose true form cannot be understood even by such great personalities as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. He is realized by devotees because of their unflinching surrender. May that same Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the maintainer of His devotees, and who is worshipped by silence, by devotional service, and by cessation of material activities, be pleased with us. Purport. Lord Krishna is not properly understood even by such exalted personalities as Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. What to speak of ordinary men? But by His causes mercy, He bestows the benediction of devotion upon His devotees, who can thus understand Krishna as He is. Bhaktimam abhijananti yavan yaschasmi tattvataha. No one within this universe can understand Krishna in truth. But if one engages in devotional service, one can understand Him perfectly well. It is also confirmed by the Lord in the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, 7.1. Maya saktamanakparta yoga yuga yunjanmanashraya asamshayam samagramam itagyasasi tatshinu. Now hear, O son of Pritha, Arjuna, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. Lord Krishna Himself teaches how one can understand Him perfectly well without a doubt. Not only the Pandavas, but everyone who sincerely accepts the instructions of Krishna can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as He is. After instructing Yudhisthira Maharaj, Narada Muni prays for the Lord's blessings, so he may be pleased with everyone, and that everyone becomes perfect in God consciousness and return home back to Godhead. Translation. Present here now is the same Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose true form cannot be understood even by great personalities as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. He is realized by devotees because of their unflinching surrender. And that's the same Supreme Personality of Godhead who is the maintainer of his devotees and who is worshipped by silence, by devotional service, and by cessation of material activities, be pleased with us. Devotional service is always in the same three stages. Here it mentions worship by silence. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells us how to come to the mode of goodness, and he concludes that in the 17th chapter. Well, he doesn't exactly conclude it, but he mentions that there are three different types of main activities, namely dana, yajna, charity, austerity, tapa, and austerity, sacrifice, and penance. Na tajam ipichapare. Yes. Every sane person has to perform sacrifice, charity, and penance. I guess that's it. So, Krishna defines austerity in the mode of goodness by the body. It's interesting that here he goes over the body, mind, and words. Generally, this is probably the only thing in the Bhagavad Gita he mentions concerning the body, the mind, and the words. Generally, he mentions austerity, for instance, in the mode of goodness, or in the mode of passion, the mode of ignorance. But here he gives more specific information. What in the mode of goodness is austerity in the mode of goodness for the body? Deva, Dvija, Guru, Pragya, Pujanam, Socham, Arjavam, Brahmacharyam, Ahimsam, Cha, Sharira, Tapu, Uchate. And in this, there are certain qualities that are brahminical from the very beginning, such as socham, cleanliness. There are two qualities of a Brahmin that are very important. One of them is satyam, and the other is socham, truthfulness and cleanliness. Truthfulness doesn't mean that you don't tell lies all the time, which is also a part of truthfulness. But ultimately, truthfulness means that we accept the fact that we're the servant of the servant of Krishna. Everything else besides that is considered to be false, illusory. If we're completely honest about the illusory energy, that will not help us so much. In other words, if under the present delusional conceptions we have, we speak the so-called truth, it's almost like the thieves who have robbed the bank and the head thief is demanding or requesting that all the thieves be honest. But their basic principle is dishonesty. So if we're an illusion, thinking ourselves through these gross and subtle bodies, whatever we say after that is more or less nonsense. Although, according to the Vedas, one can repeat the Vedas in the mode of goodness, and there's some element of truthfulness there, because it's coming from Krishna. But Deva, Dvija, Guru, Pragya, Pujanam, worship of the above-mentioned. Deva means the demigods, or specifically Krishna. The Guru, the representative of Krishna. Dvija, the Brahmins, the twice-born. Pragya, yes, usually means intelligence, but I wonder what it means there. What does pragya mean there? What's that? Intelligent people. Yeah. Pujanam, socham, arjavam, and arjavam, simplicity. Brahmacharyam, which means sense and mind control, specifically, engaging the energies in Krishna service. So these are austerities of the body. The body is what we can see, what's acting most easily. We can hide what's going on inside our body. It's very hard for anyone to take a picture of our mind. But they can take pictures of our body moving. If we claim we're the most austere, and during the barbecue that we're attending, that the mayor invited us to simply for our preaching work, we're attending the barbecue. And of course we have to honor the prasad that they offer us. So that kind of external deviation is very easy to perceive. But we have to start with the body, because at least we can watch. Is my body actually engaged in Krishna service, or is it engaged in something other than Krishna service? We probably can't claim that we were at the Avatar movie because it was a spiritual movie. Someone may doubt our motivation or activity. Now, more subtle than that is our words. Matter of fact, you can say something, and then you can claim later on, that's not what I meant. That's a little more subtle. But there are actually austerities which are perceivable also. That beginning with Anuvegam Karam Vakyam Satvam Priyahitam Chayat Swadeya Bhyasanam Chaiva Bhangmana Tapuchate. Now, of course, with Krishna in Sanskrit, somehow or another, what's first is not necessarily first in the translation. Whether the same emphasis on first and second and third is there in Sanskrit, I don't know. But usually, many times the verses are switched around. In any case, the first words are Anuvegam Karam Vakyam, not to agitate people's minds. Here we're talking about austerity. So it's very austere if you don't try and agitate other people's minds. That's one of the major pleasures in the material world. See other people's minds agitated. Either getting them angry or getting them lusty. Or getting them to do what you want them to do. That's somehow or another being controlling people's minds and agitating them. That's probably one of the most subtle pleasures that there are in the material world. That's why people speak, so they can agitate people's minds. Whether you be Hitler or Stalin or whatever, get them to do what you want, agitate them. Get them to feel like they need something, and you're giving them what they need. The directions get what they need. Bottom line is they need to worship you and serve you. That's the bottom line. But that's not what you say. You say, actually, I'm your servant, but because I'm your servant, you have to do this and you have to do that, and then you'll be in heaven. And I'll be there directing you in heaven. So, agitating, anuvegam karambak. So, vegam is, use the word, push people. Actually, vega means push. Push people to do something for your own personal happiness. Anuvegam karam vakyam satvam. Truthfulness. So again, truthfulness is mentioned twice. As an austerity. This time with the words. To say something that actually has some basis in reality. Satvam priya. And pleasing. It's all right, I don't want to agitate your mind. But I really want to tell you the truth, Prabhu. Listen carefully. This is the absolute truth. Satyam priya. Hitam. And it's your benefit I'm speaking these words, that you're a rascal and a fool. Only for your benefit. Satvam priyahitam swadaya bhyasanam chaiva. And I'm not saying it, it's Krishna saying it. So these two things, not agitating people's minds and saying things which are pleasing, is generally, some people say everything that's pleasing, they never tell the truth. Because they know how to win friends and influence people. If you tell people the truth, then you won't win friends. And if that's your purpose, is to get people to follow you, then you say, oh, you're all wonderful. Everything you do is wonderful. You smell nice, you look nice, you speak nice, everything is nice. And even that person you ran over on the street, they made such a beautiful decoration that everything's all right. You're fine. Don't worry about it. We called the ambulance and they took him away. Don't say anything that would make people disturbed with you. Don't tell anyone the truth. So one can go to the extreme. Everything I say is pleasing. There's no truthfulness. And everything is completely truthful. And everyone's angry at me. And everything is truthful and pleasing because I just made it up. It's nothing to do with Shastra. Nothing to do with what Krishna wants you to hear. It's what I want you to hear. So there's balance between these three, or not three, Anuvegam, Karam Vakyam, Sattvam, Priya, Hitam, Jayat, Swadhyaya, five different elements of austerity of speech. Most people aren't even aware that these exist. And even if they do exist, people couldn't care less. Because they don't really believe that there's such a thing as Shastra, or that we get a reaction for what we say. Or that it's important to say things which are pleasing, truthful, beneficial, not agitating people's minds, and according to the scriptures, Vedas, to speak on behalf of Krishna as his instrument rather than as an instrument for one's false ego. So even we do that, we're austere, bodily, we respect the Brahmins, we respect the learned persons, the spiritual master, and we're celibate, and we are truthful and simple and exact, but still within ourselves, who knows what's going on? Even Krishna has a hard time following sometimes. Therefore, the all idea of becoming austere, physically, externally, and even saying things properly, winds up mentally. Monam, as it says here, which is one of the elements, worship by silence. But Krishna has more than that. He says, Manak prasadam somyatvam monam atma vinigraha bhava samshudir ityetad tapo manasi tapo manasam uchite. So, satisfaction. No one in this material world is satisfied. Everyone is looking outside to see what the missing element is, or who the missing element is. Everyone's looking for that source of satisfaction, raining the mercy upon me. Even when we approach spiritual people, we don't want to serve them, we want them to rain their mercy upon us. Because we're dissatisfied. And why are we dissatisfied? Because we're not thinking about Krishna. But why aren't we thinking about Krishna? Because we don't want to think about Krishna. We have too many other things to do. Manak prasadam somyatvam. Equanimity. Because we're not satisfied, therefore our mind can't be in equanimity. Equanimity. There's too many other things. There's too many things that, this is, I like this, I don't like that, I want this, I don't want that. Somyatvam, bhava samshudhira. Purity of the mind, and therefore our mind is filled with all kinds of ideas of how to exploit the material nature and enjoy it. Bhava samshudhira. Ite tamo, manak prasadam somyatvam, monam atma vinigra. Silence. So silence doesn't mean not to say anything. It means to say what Krishna wants us to say. Speak on his behalf. rather than on behalf of our false ego. Atma vinigraha. So vinigraha means control of the self. Control of the mind. That my mind wants me to think so many things, which I think are pleasant in the beginning, but maybe bitter like poison at the end. The mind is, oh no, you deserve a break. Just relax a little bit. And we can have a whole pastime in your mind where you're, dancing with the gopis and the rasa dance. Same thing was Krishna's pastime. You're there instead of Krishna. He had a day off. So one has to control these thoughts also. No one's looking. Chaturmasya, Krishna's asleep. It's all right. Don't worry about it. Atma vinigraha. Bhava samshita ityetad tamo bhana sam uchade. So this silence begins with silence about things material and simply loudly glorifying Krishna. And what is that glorification? The same thing always is that Krishna is the proprietor of everything. Generally speaking, due to the false ego, everyone is claiming their glories. What I did, even amongst the devotees, how many books I distributed, how many devotees I made, what wonderful things I did. And Krishna, yeah, he gets some credit, but without me it wouldn't have happened. He's the driver, I'm the passenger telling him where to go. So I get the credit. So this is all material talk, either externally or whatever, internally, delusional talk. So one has to become monam, silent within. Silent means materially silent. And understand, when we're hearing Bhagavad Gita, prakrite kriyamana ni gunai karmani sarvashaha ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. The bewildered soul, under the influence of the three modes, thinks himself to be the doer, but they're actually carried out by the three modes. So that kind of thought, that kind of talk, that's monam. Monam doesn't mean to not say anything. It means not to say nonsense. It means to say what actually is real. Then the next stage is that if everything belongs to Krishna, what does Krishna want me to do with his energies? What does he want me to say? How does he want me to think? What does he want me to do? That's called devotional service. So if we're silent and we listen to Krishna, then we'll become inspired to do what he wants us to do. And we'll find out how to find out what Krishna wants me to do. So I'm actually convinced that Krishna wants me to do this. And the next thing is, cessation of material activities, but actual spiritual activities. To do things to please Krishna. Unflinching surrender. So, to do things which are pleasing, with the attitude that I'm doing it to please Krishna. Then one will actually think about Krishna. In devotion, Kamsa thought about Krishna. Aranyakashipu, he thought about Krishna. So many big, big demons think about Krishna. Even the demons today are thinking about how to kill Krishna. Or religion, whatever they're trying to kill. They're thinking about God, proclaiming he doesn't exist, or that they're going to kill him. When I went to college, I studied behavioral psychology. 4 years. Almost 4 years. Actually, last year was about Krishna consciousness. But 3 years of behavioral modification that we're all rats in a maze conditioned by stimuli and reflex, that we're just a bigger version of, a more intelligent version of an animal. And the head of it, our worshipable learned guru in that particular field of psychology, was someone called B.F. Skinner. And he wrote an essay, how one day, when they're advanced enough, they'll find out where God is, break into his kingdom, and kill the old guy. So that was my leader. And indeed, I found out later when I was at the University of Texas. I was trying to do programs there. All the other, practically any department, English, psychology, but you try to get a program in the psychology department, it was practically impossible. Religion? We already have religion. It's called atheism. Our religion is that there is no God, and we are God or we're going to become God. That's our religion. So we want to think about Krishna. We want to fix our mind, but with devotion. And the only way of doing that is to accept that he's a proprietor. Now we say, well, I accept it. I'm a card-carrying Hare Krishna devotee. It's in my back. I left it in my room, but I have a card that says I'm a Hare Krishna member. So I'm a card-carrying Hare Krishna devotee. But I don't really accept Krishna as a proprietor of everything. Or that everything, what to speak of, everything should be utilized in his service. There's so many things I'm doing which are not in Krishna's service. And what to speak of when I'm doing something, accepting that this is Krishna's, someone has asked me on behalf of Krishna, or Krishna is telling me through these devotees what to do. Still, I don't do it necessarily to please him. I'm doing it because I don't want Indra to throw a thunderbolt and hit me with it. Or whatever. I want a good reputation. I don't want to cause trouble. I don't want anyone to cause me trouble. So I do it. Not the highest state of consciousness. Out of pure love for God. I just don't want to get into trouble. Or I want to protect my reputation that I'm a great devotee. So this type of mentality is advanced, the fact that I'm doing something that Krishna wants me to do. But without bhakti, it's shrama evahi kevalam. It won't last. I may put up on a show for some time, doing everything, doing so much service, but if it's not to please Krishna, if it's to puff up my false ego, then eventually someone's going to take a little pin and puff it down. Something's going to go wrong, and the big show I put on for so long is going to turn into, you know, a comedy. Or a horror movie. Therefore, Narada Muni is praying for the Lord's blessings, so he's pleased with everyone. So we follow this path, that we learn how to fix our mind upon Krishna, but we do it in such a way that is actually yoga, through the process of yoga. And we gradually become free from our doubts that we're something other than the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. We may not know who we are, but if we find out, at least accept that we're the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, and become more and more expert how to serve Krishna's servants and do it with more and more devotion, then we'll eventually not only find out who we are, we'll find out who Krishna is. And whoever else is, what everything else is. So that's all we have to do. Everything else is just an endless, needless complication. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
Yeah. So you mentioned external mauna and internal mauna. Can you explain a little more this internal mauna?
Mauna and?
Mauna. External?
And internal.
And?
Internal.
Internal, yeah.
Yeah, internal, yeah.
Internal, sorry.
Well, Prabhupada says that silence means to speak only on behalf of Krishna. But we also have another dialogue going on, which is not necessarily between Krishna and Arjuna. It's our internal dialogue, where our mind is speaking and we're speaking back. So that's also probably even a more significant chatter that's going on, the chatter of our minds. Externally, we're chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and internal, you know, she loves me, she loves me not, she loves me. So that's a different conversation that's going on than apparently between ourselves and Krishna. So we have to be silent both ways. Yes.
Non-violence ahimsa is mentioned as is listed as the austerity of the body. Why is non-violence ahimsa the austerity of the body?
Why is it austerity of the body? Because we always like to fight with people. It's Kali Yuga. I mean, Krishna could have put it in, you know, in any place. But, you know, anuvegam karam vakyam is also similar to that. Not agitate people's minds. To speak in Krishna is not to agitate people's minds. So that's, but he could have put it under monam, and under the austerity of the mind too. But he decided to put it there. Because that's generally, hingsa means to, especially in Kali Yuga, if you can just avoid physically fighting with people, you're making a lot of progress. Yes.
And another one, I think you touched, you spoke about it, but still, here Narada Muni seems to be praying for everybody. He says, "Oh Lord, please be pleased with everyone." So it looks like he's giving blessings to everybody, and hopefully that includes us.
So we hope it includes us. When Narada Muni says everyone, I don't know what the Sanskrit is, but whatever, everyone. He hopes to capture one or two people and not everyone. Prabhupada said to expect everyone is a little naive. But, you know, if you can get one or two people, then you're doing quite well. If he said only one or two people, he would probably get nothing. But if he includes everyone, there might be, you know, a few people get benediction. Yeah.
So to get included in this everyone, you have to do what?
Surrender. Follow Krishna's instructions. Follow some instruction. Utilize something in Krishna's service, karma yoga. Try to understand Krishna, jnana yoga. Actually become a devotee of Krishna, bhakti yoga. Or think about Krishna, astanga yoga. Become his devotee. We have to surrender like that. Follow the process.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, why is when already mentioning it's the other way around, the sequence, but why isn't it superfluous to demand or advise not to be udvegam if you already, Krishna already said words should be priyam? Why then adding to it also not disturbing? Because priyam is obviously not disturbing.
Well, you can be very pleasing to people also, and you can agitate their minds.
So it can be. So this udvegam means also to make them lusty, as you were saying.
Yeah, of course. Uh-huh. Vegam. Vegam means to push them.
Pushing, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Continuously push. Oh, I love you. You're the most wonderful.
Yeah,
man.
Okay.
It's also agitating people's minds. Not that Krishna loves you. You should surrender to Krishna. I love you. You should surrender to me. It's also agitating people's minds. And you can do it in a very pleasing way.
I have one more question. If I'm not mistaken, this previous guru of yours, B.F. Skinner, he wrote Beyond Freedom and Dignity. This could be a title of Vaishnava book also, maybe.
Beyond what?
Beyond Freedom and Dignity, or Beyond Freedom and Pride could be a title of Vaishnava, a Vaishnava book or essay. Or.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's using language in their own way. Beyond Freedom. Yeah, I'm sure he'd like everyone to become, figure out how to make them into like one of the rats in the maze. Give up their freedom for the sake of science. That's quite popular nowadays. human intelligence has created so much havoc, so we have to take away their intelligence. So that's what they've been doing for decades now, not centuries, taking people's intelligence away, so they have no more freedom. You tell them to jump, and the only thing they ask is how high. And dignity, well, they've already taken away everyone's dignity. People are dancing naked in the street and everyone's applauding them. Anything else? Kuala, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.